Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Psalm 107. Psalm 107 will be there towards the end today. So this morning I want to talk about thankfulness and why it's so important to God to be grateful. Why is it so important to Him that He wants to develop us to be thankful people? You ever thought about that? When we adopted Lucas, in our interview, they wanted us to come up with five things that you want your kids to turn out to be. I thought, that's a great question. It's because it kind of gives you some goals to like, well, how am I going to help them parent them? What kind of character do we want to help develop? And so one of the things my wife says, I want to help them be grateful people. And so when you read the Bible, it's peppered through what with thanksgiving, giving thanks, being grateful, and everything. And so we're going to talk about these things, but why is it so important to God that He wants to develop us into people of thankfulness? Now think about this. In this important lesson, just through thankfulness, you know, you can overcome discouragement. You can overcome depression. You can have more peace, more joy. You can be happier. It's all proven if you're just thankful. So if you're unthankful, right? It's almost like putting shades on and walking and living life, your whole life in kind of darkness, because you're seeing things from a dark perspective. So when you're grateful, you take off those glasses, those dark glasses, and you start seeing light again. You're like, oh, I'm thankful for this, this, and this, and it just creates joy and peace in your soul. So just remember that if you want to be more happier, be thankful. If you want more joy in your life, just be thankful. Put more peace in your life, just be thankful. But why is it so important for God or to God that we're grateful people? Well, you ever been around people who are ungrateful? It's kind of like one of those awkward moments. It's like, it's hard to be around, isn't it? People are just not thankful. So God requires us to be thankful. He commands us to be thankful, first and foremost. Now, David, when he wrote Psalm 107, it's like he was writing worship songs for his nation, for people to sing to the Lord, right? And so we're going to get there eventually. But David was a king, and so people would always come to him with requests, with maybe their district's needs and everything else. And so he was sitting on his and is being a king, and people would come to him and say, hey, we need this and this and this and this. And he never heard probably this word, hey, we're so thankful for what you did for us last year. You know, provided seed for our farmers. You helped to do all this. And he just kept hearing what the needs were, and people was maybe complaining or coming to him with all these things, and he's felt overwhelmed. And so he probably got to thinking, you know, if people are coming to me this way, imagine people coming to God with just telling their needs or without being thankful. And they're just demanding this, demanding that, and never thankful. And so David wrote Psalm 100, verse 4. Notice this. He says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. This is what God requires. And his courts with praise. Now, that verse is mentioned right outside in our foyer, right? Enter his courts with praise. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. So whenever you come before God in worship or prayers, we're going to see it has to be. God requires thankfulness. So many times when you pray, always start with being thankful. And sometimes you start to change your prayer request as it may come to Him. I see things differently now than when I first was going to come to Him with this, because I have thankfulness in my heart. So God requires it, and He commands it, and you're like, well, why does He command it? Because He knows it's for our good. Gratitude is a missing element in our culture, in our society, and when we as God's people, God wants us to be thankful people, grateful people. In 2 Timothy 3, when Paul is describing, he says, the end times, he says, people are going to be ungrateful and unholy. I got to thinking about that. It's like, if we're ungrateful, it can lead to unholiness. So gratefulness and a holy life are linked together, because thankfulness is an act of worship. And the closer we get to the Lord in thankfulness, the more we're going to be like Him. So when you study the prayer life of Christ, He was always giving thanks as He was praying. He said, Lord, in John 11, Lord, I just thank You that You hear me. Are we ever just, it's like, that was, seems awful simple. Lord, are You, am I thankful that He just hears me? Because you ever feel like nobody's hearing you? Nobody's listening to you? But God says that He always listens to us. His ear is always attentive to our prayers. His eyes are always upon us. And Jesus says, Lord, I thank You that You always hear me when I pray. So we're thankful for that. You know, one of the things I love about heaven, when you study, we're going to see there in Revelation coming up, when we get to heaven, there's not going to be any more complaining. No more murmuring, you know, no more social media, no more political media, everything going, no more of that going on. Just a lot of thankfulness. Revelation 4 says, give thanks unto Him who sits on the throne. He is sovereign, He is good, and He is loving. You know, one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament is when God brought them out of Egypt and He started feeding them manna. Right? And so manna just simply means, what is it? So when you go to Thanksgiving meal and you see something different, just call it manna. People are going to be like, what do you mean by that? Well, study what that word means. You know, just manna. What is that? First time I saw oyster dressing, I was like, Mom, manna. You know, what is that? She goes, oh, you just need to try it. Your dad made it. And I was just like, He's never made that before. And I've never eaten that before. And I don't think I ever will eat that. I'm supposed to be thankful in everything, right? But sometimes it just doesn't go down well. And I pray, Lord, I'll get it down. You keep it down. How about that? The missionary prayer, yes. So God requires thankfulness in our worship. In what aspects? Number one, in our prayer life. Notice Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition. With what? With thanksgiving, present your request to God. So even when we come to Him with a need, come with thankfulness. You see that peppered in there is more. So God loves it when we pray with thankfulness. It's almost like, Lord, I know I have a need, but I'm thanking You ahead of time that You're going to supply the need because I know Your word says You will supply all my needs according to Your riches in glory. See where I went with that? So many times we present the need without ever thanking Him for the provision that He's already going to supply. That's an act of faith. That's praying with faith, knowing that God is going to come through. It may not be how you necessarily want it to come through, but He's always going to come through. Amen? He's always going to take care of things. It's like saying, Lord, I know You got this, but I'm just presenting it with You. I'm presenting this need with You or this person with You. I know You're going to be so good in this matter, and I'm thankful for it. Then secondly, in our singing, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with what? Gratitudes in your heart to God. Now this is what I've noticed even about my own heart, my own soul sometimes. You know, when I'm not being thankful, I don't really like music. Because it just isn't part of me. So a grateful heart loves to sing. Does that make sense? A grateful, thankful heart just can't help but think, Lord, You're good and You're great. It's a worshipful heart. And He accepts our worship when He sees gratitude in our hearts. But we can also sing with no gratitude in our heart. You think the Lord accepts that? We can just go through the motions and sing and not be thankful at all. Not get emotional, not even sing from our soul. We can just sing and go through the motions. That's not what worship is all about. Psalm 42, David says, when he goes, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" He goes, but yet he ends the psalm with, "I will yet praise you." Whenever we sense the song from our soul is gone, we just need to start being thankful. And God brings the song back. So we start singing again. We start whistling again. We start having more joy again. And our worship just starts to elevate. Because what happens so many times in our lives is that life just kind of beats us down. But worship helps build us back up. Make sense? So even in our singing, we need to watch our souls, make sure we're thankful and praise Him even in the hardest times of our lives. Then thirdly, in our giving, 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, God loves a miserable giver. The complaining, grumbling giver. Right? Is that what it says? No, He loves a cheerful giver. Do you know giving is infectious, right? Somebody starts having a giving attitude and a faith attitude, it's infectious, right? And so it just kind of spurns on the things. And so in verses chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, verses 11 and 12, I just want to show these verses. So Paul was thanking this church that was poor that helped out another church. And so he says, "You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God." So this church just heard of this another church in need. So they took up a love collection. It's like, "Paul, we want you to give this to this church over here in need." So Paul was just like, "What? I'm so thankful for your... You didn't have to do this, but it's causing us to be thankful and this church to be thankful because of your generosity." And so what God is after is generosity. So many times we live life with closed fist. You know, in India, when they capture monkeys, do you know how they capture monkeys? They have this little glass jar and they put this little shiny coin in the jar and they hang it from the limbs. And so these monkeys just climb all around. They see this shiny thing and they want to come and see what's inside it. And so they stick their hands inside the jar to get this little shiny coin. But as long as their fist is closed, they can't pull it out because the jar head is too small. But they can fit their arm in there to grab it. So all they have to do from being not being captured is to let go of the and slip their arms out. But they don't. They hang on to that which is going to capture them and imprison them and hurt them. Now, folks, we can't be like monkeys. We got to let go of stuff, right? Live life with an open hand. Because here's what Paul says, we brought nothing in this world, we can take nothing out. So everything we have in the meantime, we're just thankful for everything that comes our way. And to pass it and pay it forward, even in our giving. So the shoe boxes, helping people with food, that's just an act of generosity. And so the Lord is saying, "That's my people, yes! Look at them go. Look at them give. They're just like me when I'm giving." John 3:16, it says, "God so loved the world that He gave. Giving is heart like Christ. And that's what He's after. We've been blessed. We just want to be a blessing back. Then be thankful in all circumstances. Notice 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Be joyful when? Always. Pray when? Continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Notice this, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you've ever wondered what God's will for your life is, be joyful always, pray continually, and everything give thanks. His will is more simple than what we make it. And Paul is just making it very, very clear. So we're to give thanks even when it's painful. Yes. When we're confused, frustrated, even when we're angry and upset. You know, sometimes thankfulness can calm you down a little bit. You know, sometimes I think, you know, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not about to go crazy. There were two guys, they were walking through a field one day. They spotted a bull that was super angry. Instantly, they darted toward the nearest fence. The storming bull followed them in hot pursuit, and it was soon apparent they would not make it to the fence. The bull was getting close. Terrified, one of them shouted to the other, "Hey, put up a prayer, John. We're in for it." John answered, "I can't. I've never made a public prayer in my life." He goes, "But you must. The bull is catching up to us." He goes, "Okay, I'll recite the only prayer my grandmother told me to pray. Lord, thank you for what we're about to receive." Even in painful moments. I never prayed that before I got a spanking, but I look back on it and I'm thankful my parents loved me to spank me, right? Maybe that's what's wrong with me. I don't know. Just kidding. Psalm 107. Let's get to Psalm 107, all right? Psalm 107. Now, what's interesting when you study the history behind Psalm 107, it was used as a worship song during the annual feast in the Jewish calendar. So just like Psalm 113 to 118 was sung during Passover, right, to remind them all that God has done. And so Psalm 105 to 107 was sung during a feast day, an annual feast day. And so think about that. We have an annual feast day that's celebrated in our culture called what? Thanksgiving. So it's a time for us to give thanks. And so I tied this into that kind of custom that they were doing. And so these psalms, Psalm 105 talks about give thanks to God's faithfulness to the nation of Israel. Psalm 106 talks about Israel's unfaithfulness to God, and they were to give thanks. But Psalm 107 talks about God's deliverance of His people, even when they go astray or going through hard times. Now notice how it starts off. Let's read it together. "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." Let's just break that down. Give thanks to the Lord, Yahweh. He is, for He is good. His love endures forever. Or some translations say it never fails, or it's unfailing love. And so let's just look at what does it mean for God to be good. What's the definition of good? It's morally excellent. He's morally excellent. He's morally good. He's pleasant. It means kind. He's joyful. He's excellent. He's lovely, delightful, fruitful, and righteous. That's what His goodness means. So when it says, "for He is good," it means He is most excellent in everything that He does, right? And so James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift comes from where?" From above, from our Heavenly Father, right? And so in Matthew 7, 9 through 11, Jesus tells us how to pray. He says, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake?" It's like, that's just kind of odd, right? He's asking for food and you give him some kind of evil gift, right? Kind of tricky. He says, if you then though are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him?" And so since He is good, what is He going to give? He's going to give good things. He acts or lives out of His nature. So He expects the same from us. And so since He's made us righteous, He's made us morally good because of Christ, He wants us to be good. That makes sense? We were lost and without Christ. Now that we're in Christ, we are to be eager to do what is good. Because what? He is good. So whatever God is like in His nature, in essence, He wants us to mirror. Make sense? Since He is holy, we are to be holy. Since He is loving, we're called to love. We're to mirror who He is. So He is good, and His love never fails. Definition of this word in the Hebrew is the word I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but it's she said. It's like she said. She said. And so it's one of the most important words in the Old Testament, referring to God Himself, who is love, who is mercy or loving kindness. It's used in a covenant relationship which pictures the forgiveness of sins. Since God is eternal in love and good, we can conclude then that everything that flows from God is how He treats His people. His love's never going to fail. His goodness is never going to fail because God's never going to fail. He's eternal in all His ways. So David in Psalm 23 says, verse 6 says at the end of Psalm 23, 6, it says, David says, surely His goodness and chesed, His love or mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My uncle had two beagle dogs. Anybody have beagle dogs growing up? They are noisy. They love to bark and they love to run and they love to do their job, right? And so my dad had some beagle dogs growing up. We just let them run and they just find a rabbit and they just go crazy, right? They love their job. But he loved the rabbit hunt. So he had these two dogs and he named them Mercy and Goodness. It's like, well, why? Because they followed him wherever he went. So he just took that verse literally. Now think about that. If you were reminding yourself every day, you know, God's goodness is for me today. His love never fails to me today. He's going to follow me the rest of my life. That's pretty awesome. And they're going to bark and let me remind myself to see His goodness when we find a rabbit in our life, right? It's like, well, where did that come from? Where did that act of goodness come from? It was from Him, right? Then Psalm 107 finishes up with six different scenarios. Because love is tested, right? Goodness is tested. Well, David says, let's just test how good His love is. Right? It says he commands us to give thanks because He's good and His love endures forever. Well, let's just test His love. Six different things. Number one, even in our wanderings. Notice this verses 4-9. It says, some wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Verse 10, some sat in darkness in the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of the Lord and despised the counsel of the Most High. So He subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled and when there is no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness in the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. For He breaks down the gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. So even in our wanderings, when we stray away from God, He brings us back. Even in our rebellion against God, where we don't take His counsel, when we rebel against Him, guess what? He's right there. His love brings us back, right? Even in our foolishness, and sometimes you ever make a foolish decision? I must be the only one here. It's like, man, why did I do that? Guess what? He rescues us out of it. Why? Because He's good and His love never fails. Even in the storms of our life, when things get hairy and things are just rocking left and right, and you're thinking, Lord, are You good? Where are You? And He's like, I've never left You. He stills the storm. It says He stills it to a whisper. Even in our dry seasons. You ever have a dry season? Spiritually, that's what He's talking about, a dry season spiritually. When it seems like there's no fruit on your branch and it's like, Lord, what are You doing? And sometimes He's pruning during the dry season because He's wanting to make you more fruitful.
But he allows us to go through the dry seasons. It's like, Lord, am I hearing from you? Lord, I just feel like I'm wandering. It's just dry in my life. God's like, no, I'm getting ready for you to make you really fruitful. But you got to go through the dryness and the pruning process to make you more fruitful. Even when we're in our sufferings, our afflictions, trials that we go through, guess what it says? He lifts the needy. So, in the midst of our storms, in the midst of our foolishness and rebellion, in the midst of our suffering, God wants us to remember just how good He is, and that His love never fails. It's like even if you tried your best to run away from Him, it's not going to work. He's going to bring you back. That's when His love is tested. Amen? His love is never going to fail you. Why? Because He's good. Perfectly good in all His ways. He heals us. I want to just tie everything together this morning. We've sung this song before. It's one of my favorite songs that Casting Crowns has come up with here. And because it talks about God being the God of all our days. Even in our seasons, maybe of suffering or dryness and our wanderings, He's right there. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank You for Your word today. Lord, we just want to tell You we love You. We thank You that You love us with a never-ending, unfailing, perfectly good, an excellent kind of love. And Lord, we look forward to the day where we get to taste and see all the goodness that You have in store for us. Lord, we get a feel in our new heavenly bodies Your love. Lord, we look forward to those days. We thank You that while we're down here, Lord, even though we go through temporary sufferings and afflictions, or that Your word says You're conforming us, You're making all things work together for us. And we are to rejoice and to give You thanks because of who You are and what You're doing in our lives. So Lord, use this song just to kind of help us get our souls reoriented to what You're doing in and through us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever season you may be in, just remember He's the God of all your days. Everybody's situation, I'm sure, is different in this room. But He never changes. Amen. I love that about God. He's so faithful in everything that He does. And just during this week, I just want to challenge you. Before you pray, before you do anything, ask God for anything, just give thanks for Him, for who He is, that He's good and His love has never failed you. Even when our love has failed Him sometimes, right? His love never fails us. And so I just want to challenge you all week. Just give the Lord a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Lord, I'm just going to be thankful for the shoebox. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful that You delivered me out of all my troubles. That You've been there with me through the hardest and darkest times of my life. Sometimes we don't thank the Lord for that. But we ought to. You know, we're coming up on a new decade, starting 2020. It's hard to believe. Coming up on Christmas, it's like, man, it just seems like yesterday we had these shoeboxes last year. And it's like, man, how time goes. So I just want to challenge our church in this next decade to be more generous, be more thankful, more grateful. I think God is more concerned about who we are than what we want to try to do for Him. If we concentrate on developing our character right and our hearts right, things are going to flow out of that, right? We just become more of a person who's thankful and more generous. Live life with an open hand. Say, Lord, everything I have is Yours. I'm just freely received, freely given. Be wise with that, yes. But live life with an open hand. Be a blessing to others. And so Wouldn't it be great for us to be known as a church? That's the most giving church I've ever been to. I had a lady come to me this week asking some great questions about her future and everything else and her son. And she said these words to us. We've heard, you know, Crossroads, the most loving and, you know, receptive people we've known. Welcoming. But she says, Andy, your church is the most giving church, the most serving church I've ever been to. I was like, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for this church. I just want to thank you folks for having a heart to help meet people's needs. Sometimes in their darkest hour, no matter what goes on, you're just there to show up and serve. To be a blessing. Amen. So I'm thankful for you guys. For all of you. Amen. Father, we just thank you today for your goodness. We thank you for your grace that covers us. We thank you that you love us like no other. And you help us grow to be more like you. Lord, help us just to be that soft clay that's moldable in your hands. That you get us get to fashion and use. So Father, I pray, Lord, that you just help us be such a blessing to our community and to our world. Lord, that it just continues to flow. So Father, give us a great week. Give everybody a restful week, a great week. And just a good reminder week of just who you are for us. In the midst of all our days. We love you again. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.